Well, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whenever you're able to watch this archive. I'm blessed to be with you again during these moments that we have together in Alliance of Honorable Men. This book is, every time I teach this book, I have to, of course, study it and read it, but I read it in my own time too, and it's such a powerful book. I'm very excited about the chapter we're going into in this session, chapter 8. Identifying those who would join us in covenant. Now, this chapter is important because it gives a blueprint of the characteristics that one must have if they want to be in covenant. I want you to see yourself, whether you're a pastor, whether you're in the fivefold ministry gift, or whether you are part of the laity. I want you to see yourself being connected to someone else who God has connected you to. So that may be your pastor. It may be your spiritual father, maybe your apostle, whoever it may be. I want you to see this chapter is written from a perspective of how they would think and what they are looking for with scripture backup and principles to put into place. And this author does an excellent job in developing points of characteristics that we must have, things that we must possess if we're going to be successful in covenant and for the purpose of being in covenant to achieve the agenda of God. The author, as a matter of fact, let's read something. Go to 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. We have to eliminate any divisiveness, thing that will cause us not to become one in the spirit. We'll see in this First Chronicles, the 11th chapter, in the first verse. First Chronicles, the 11th chapter, the first verse. Listen to what it says. It says, "Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Verse 2, And moreover, in times past, even when Saul was king, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, Thou shalt feed my people, Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people, Israel. Verse 3, very important. Therefore came all the elders of Israel to the king, to Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord by Samuel." Now, let's set some foundational things here before we get into these points of accurate connection, as the author would call it. Let's start with some foundations. Number one, David became king of Israel by what? The word of the Lord, by instruction from God. Now, there has to be fruit in your pastor's life that will indicate that he or she is hearing from God. There's no way around that. They have to have fruit. What I mean by fruit in their personal life, not that they won't have challenges, not that they won't have any difficult moments. Fruit is the result of being able to go through challenges and difficult moments. How you come out of those things. You should be able to, let's prove it. I'm about to prove it to you. Your leader should have fruit in their lives. In my particular case, Apostle, I see fruit in his life. I only have had a chance to watch it from a member standpoint or a part of the vision standpoint, but I've also had a chance to see it as actually being in his family. So I've seen him face difficult situations and produce fruit. This is why I have no problem being in covenant with him. You must see your leaders produce fruit. If your leader is not producing fruit, you are wasting your time. Not to belittle anyone. Listen, at this moment, at this time, in this season of our lives, we don't really have time to be worried about people's feelings. We got to be concerned with truth. We got to be concerned with thus said the Lord. It's not your fault if your leader is not hearing what thus said the Lord. That's not your fault. And God is not requiring you to be connected to somebody who can't hear thus said the Lord. So you must see fruit in your leader's life because they can hear thus said the Lord. Let me prove this to you. Go to where is First Samuel. Go to First Samuel. First Samuel, the 22nd chapter. Watch this. Prove this to you. First Samuel, 22nd chapter. I want you to see something. Because in 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 3, was not the first time David had actually cut covenant with people that were surrounding him. We can see this in 1 Samuel 22. Look at 1 Samuel 22, verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brother and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to join him. Verse 2 is important because it just went his father's house and his brother there went down to him. And everyone that, first of all, thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's think about this. Watch this now. Watch. I'm talking about fruit. Your leader must have fruit in their lives. If your leader does not have fruit, see, once you see results, and I'm not talking about fake results. I'm not talking about this surface stuff, like because they got a car or they got a nice house. Those things are so low on a totem pole of having. I'm talking about miracles and signs and wonders are following your pastor, your leader, your man or woman of God. I'm talking about when tough situations are brought to them, God speaks to them divinely. And they're able to help people navigate through. They're teaching the word of God that's causing 1 Corinthians 9:11. Turn it up. We'll come back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 9:11. I like to call this as the quiet foundation of apostle ministry. And I pattern myself after it because it produces fruit. 1 Corinthians 9:11. This apostle Paul said this first. Watch what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:11. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Matthew 6:33, Isaiah 1:19, and 1 Corinthians 9:11 are my three most favorite verses in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 9:11. Watch what the Apostle Paul said. He asked this in question form, but you got to break it down to see what he was saying. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 11th verse, he said, if we, who is we, he's talking about him and his team, have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap of your carnal things? That's a very powerful question. Because the Apostle Paul was putting every person in the fivefold ministry gift on the spot. See, most people read this with no revelation and think that Paul was trying to get people to give. But Paul wasn't actually trying to get people to give. The Apostle Paul was trying to establish a principle of reciprocity. He was establishing a principle of covenant connection. He asked the question, he said, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal? So let's break this down. The Apostle Paul says, so if what we're teaching you is causing you to be successful and causing you to be blessed and to prosper, then why is it so a big deal if we reap of your carnal blessings? So now the Apostle Paul also put himself on the spot. So he also said, let's take the flip or the opposite of it. If I'm not teaching you or imparting to you information and grace that will cause you to go and be successful and to be blessed and to prosper, thank you, Holy Spirit, then why do I have a right to receive of your carnal? This is biblical. Watch Genesis 12 and 3. You don't have to go there. God told Abram, I am going to bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you until all the families of the earth be blessed. Apostle Paul is saying the same thing. Apostle Paul said, your connection to me and the agenda God has given me, it should be causing you to prosper. So if it's not causing you to prosper, then I have no right of your carnal. Go back to, now watch this, go back to 1 Samuel 22. Now let's read this again, because we're going to see a principle here that's been carried throughout all the Bible. And if we find this principle and operate it properly, we can find ourselves with the same result. Watch. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brother and all his fathers heard it, they went down thither to him. Notice it, his brethren and all his father. And that's amazing, because these are the same people that were doubting the skills of David. This is the same people that when David came down to bring them food from their father, from Jesse, their father, David seen Goliath. And David was like, well, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's talking so much noise to the children of Israel? And why are y'all scared? What's the problem? His brothers, said, you young, you don't understand. Just going back to tending sheep. That's all you know about. But when David allowed God and the grace that was on him and the agenda that God had put in them to rise up, David was producing fruit. So now we see in this first verse of the 22nd chapter of 1 Samuel, where all his father's house and his what? Brethren went down to David. Verse 2. And everyone that was in, because it wasn't on his brethren and the house and his father's house. It says, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a what? Captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. So now we see that these men recognized the grace of God on David. Just like, remember we talked about earlier about Jonathan? We talked last chapter about covenant. Jonathan recognized. So Jonathan began to give up everything for David, because not so much for David, but because of what David was carrying. We see the same thing happening here. We see the same thing happening in 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Why? The foundation. David was producing fruit. David wasn't just charismatic. David didn't just preach the word of God well. David had fruit in his life. He had results. He was carrying a grace that could be seen in the natural through results. So everyone that was in debt, stress, discontentment gathered themselves around David. Now watch this. One thing that was fast forward. Go with me to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. Now everybody was in what? Debt, distress, and discontentment, correct? Why should we see these same group of people in 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter? I want to give you a before and after picture, so you'll understand why it's important that you, number one, have a foundation. Your leader has to be producing fruit that comes from obeying God. That's first and foremost. If you're connected to somebody who's not producing fruit because they're not obeying God, then what are we doing? Why are we wasting time? Look at 1 Chronicles, I meant to say, chapter 29, verse 3. Let's look at David. My Bible says David invites the people to give. And I want you to see, also in this, I want you to see why it's important that we be in covenant and what does it mean as for leading people. David, let's start at verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Verse 2, now David's still talking. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and brass for the things of brass. The iron of these, for iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones, the stones to be set, glistening stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. In abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affections, David, being a leader, his affections is set on the house, or let's put it a little plainer, the agenda of God. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the agenda of God, of my God, of my God. I love that. He set his affection on the house or the agenda of my God. He made it personal. I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of the Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house with all the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver. I'm taking my time to read this because this is important. And all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Now, David begins to open it up and say, I'm telling you what I'm doing. Now, I'm giving you opportunity for you to do the same thing I'm doing. If your leader is not a giver, if you can't follow the sowing of your leader, if you can't, because if you, how can you follow? Do you know how to necessarily know what they're giving? No, you don't necessarily know what they're giving. You don't know what they're giving, but you know a giver by what they receive. Oh my God, this is so clear. Holy Spirit's cleaning it up so well. If you notice with Apostle, even though he teaches on finances, rarely does he opens his mouth to receive an offering. Even in our Sunday morning services and Tuesday night training in the Word, I receive the offering. You don't hardly hear me say maybe two or three sentences to receive an offering. And yet people give. Why is that? Why is that? Number one, they see fruit in the life of the leader. Number two, the reason why they see fruit is because when you give, you receive. So because he received, they know it's because of his giving. Number three, 1 Corinthians 9:11. What Apostle and his team are putting out is causing people to go be successful in life. And when you give people information and importation to be successful in life, they have no problem reciprocating. They have no problem tithing. They have no problem giving as an offering. They have no problem with it. Why? Because they're seeing results in their lives. It's simple. It's simple. God didn't make this hard. He didn't make this hard at all. All right. Watch this. Now we go to verse 6. It's important. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of the thousands of the hundreds with the rules of the king's work offered willingly. and gave for the service of the house of God of gold, 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver, 10,000 talents, and of brass, 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of Lord by the hand of Jael the Gershonite. This is important. Notice the progression. David started off the giving, the actual leader. He said, I set my affection on the agenda of God. If your leader does not set his or her affection on the house or the agenda of God, you're wasting your time. Because if the leader doesn't show affection, then how can the leader turn around and ask everybody else to give? So David turned around, and the first people to step up were the leaders. Notice what it said in verse 6, and the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribe of Israel, and the captains. These are the same people that surrounded themselves in David in 1 Samuel 22. And the captains of thousands, of hundreds, with the rulers of the kings, were offered willingly. Oh my God, they offered willingly. Why did they offer willingly? Because David was operating in 1 Corinthians 9 and 11 before it was ever written. Why? Because it is a principle. When the leader imparts grace and information that calls people to be successful in their lives, people have no problem reciprocating. Because guess what? It's a principle. If they don't reciprocate, they won't receive. Oh. Very simple. Not finished yet. Look at verse 9. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 9. Then the people, everybody else rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect hearts they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Verse 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. So you see a progression. David as a leader gave. Then those that surrounded David, who are leaders, gave. This is why we have a requirement for our staff members and people in the ministry of health and people that want to help hold up the arms of Moses and be a part of this ministry. We have a requirement that you must tithe. That's why. Because if the leader is not a tither, then those that helping him and surround him on tithe, then how in the world you expect the people that we're trying to impart and lead to tithe? It won't happen. It all begins with a foundation. It all begins with the foundation of the, watch this, leader producing fruit. Now, how does the leader, how the leader produce fruit? Because the leader had to do what they're expecting us to do to somebody else. This is why LTMA is such a powerful organism. Not organization, powerful organism. Because it's given, I know I stressed it before, I might have said it before, but Apostle Thompson served his spiritual father, served his first pastor. He just testified last Sunday about how he would hold the communion tray. Because back in the day, they would go serve communion and bring communion to the sick and shut in, they called them. They would go, the pastor would take time on a Sunday, on communion Sunday, and go to each house of the sick and shut in and bring them communion. He said he would stand there and hold a tray for Pastor Darville. But he knew Pastor Darville, every house they went to, he said Pastor Darville was going to pick a text and start preaching. That's 25, 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes he's going to preach in the house to the people. And he said, I stood there and held. He told me to teach Sunday school. He taught Sunday school. Till the day these people asked him to come and preach on a Sunday, he asked his pastor, he said, go ahead, do it. That's how he became pastor. Then God told him to follow Brother Hagin. Told him, this is my servant for almost 50 years. The same anointing that's on him, I've given it to you. He's going to train you how to use it. And he began to support Brother Hagin and attend the meetings. Why? Because there was something that was getting off on Brother Hagin that was getting on him. This is why, hindsight is 20/20. Those of us in LTF, especially MVBs, those of us, we see, we were able to see Apostle do these things and organize it so that the organism can live. So now there is a prescribed order of success. We're not guessing. This is why we have Founders Day. This is why we have Matriarchs Day. There's no guessing. There's no guessing about this. They surrounded themselves. We see the principle. I'm showing it to you. They surrounded themselves around David. Why? Because David had an agenda from God. They surrounded themselves around David. They surrounded themselves around Moses, around Abraham. They surrounded themselves around Moses. They surrounded themselves around David. There's a principle there. The first thing is your leader must produce fruit, which means they have somebody that they're connected to. Oh, praise God. Accountability, sanctification, dedication. The things that we in LTMA are doing to Apostle, we saw him do for Brother Hagin and saw the fruit from it, so we have no problem. Who is your pastor following? Who is your pastor connected to? Who agenda has your pastor help to bring to pass? Who God-given agenda have your pastor help? Because if your pastor hadn't helped anybody, and he or she is on an island all on their own, you are wasting your time. We see here that the leader David gave first, then the leaders that surround him. This is important because when we get next week, as we get into the pivotal points of accurate connection, we're going to see why is it that we have to make sure that the leaders that we're connected to has a strong foundation of fruit. God, we know God is speaking to them. So we see David started off to give. He didn't ask first for giving. He said, this is what I'm doing. Why? Because I've set my affection on the agenda of my God. Then once the leaders saw the leaders already knew because they were surrounded and they've been with him since 1 Samuel 22. So they know what they were about. So they were already willing, offered. They would say they offered willingly. They were prepared. Then once the people saw, the people said, oh, we're excited. We're going to give too. There is a natural, thank you, Holy Spirit, for catching me. There is a supernatural progression. Pastors, you want the people that you're leading to increase financially? You increase financially. How? By doing it the same way you're trying to tell them to do it. You tell them give and they should be giving you good measure, press down, shall they get it run over, shall they give it to your bosom? You try. Try it before you try to tell them what to do. Won't you do it and prove it in your life? This is powerful. See, watch how this works. Once that happens, Pastor, the people no longer is your source. Apostle Thompson is able to say, well, thus said the Lord. Because the people are not his source. God is his source. And when God is his source, he his affection is set on the agenda of God. My affection is set on the agenda of God. I see the agenda of God in Apostle. So my affection is set on the agenda of God, which means my affection is set on what he is affectionate about. Oh, this is powerful. That's the foundation for covenant. Without a leader having his affection set on the house of God and be able to produce fruit, we're wasting our time. I'm so excited about our next class. This is going to be powerful. This chapter is going to be powerful. It's going to change your life. I look forward to being with you next week. Be blessed.